This is Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. I think the question of literacy and being able to read is so key. We hear that from school administrators. We hear it from the teachers. We hear it from parents, and the importance for our community to have kids who know how to read so they don't fall behind in school. So what can we do? What might be one way to reach them and to have them have a better opportunity to learn how to read? We're going to talk with Betsy Baker. She's professor of literacy studies at the MU College of Education, and it has to do with speech recognition and more. Dr. Baker, good morning. How are you?
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing well. Help me understand exactly what you have found in the research that you've done, which is to help kids maybe overcome some sort of hesitation or embarrassment they might have as they struggle to learn how to read. What is your research showing?
Yeah, well, thanks. I've been enjoying, I had the opportunity to spend the year in a first grade classroom as a teacher's aide, and I hung out in the writing center where children talked to their iPads. And we activated speech recognition apps such as Siri, Dragon. We all think about Siri or Hey Siri, Hey Alexa. And we think about that Siri and Alexa will give us the sports scores or tell us how to get somewhere. But Siri and Alexa and speech recognition apps also write down what you said. And so what I've been looking at is children talking to speech recognition apps and then learning to read what they dictate to these apps.
So show me, I'm on radio, but yeah, you can show me through your words. So they would have a program where if I were maybe in first grade, I would be able to bring something up on the iPad or on a computer of some sort. And then what would it ask me to do?
Well, so anytime you can actually, you know, if you say, Hey Siri or Hey Alexa, right, all those are speech recognition apps. And part of the one component of being able to read is being able to make a match between these alphabetic squiggles on a page and these oral words that we say. And so we often will start with, children reading wonderful children's books but children in addition to that can simply talk to their iPhone, iPads, which most any smartphone nowadays has some kind of speech recognition app. And they can watch their words magically appear on the page, and they can see what their words look like when you write them down.
Prior to this, how would this kind of teaching be done for the youngsters?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this is really based on an instructional approach that's been around for decades called a language experience approach. And language experience approach is basically teachers engage students in conversations, and then they take dictation from those students and write that down for them, and that becomes the students' reading materials. The problem with traditional LEA is it's really difficult for a teacher to get around to every student to take dictation. And so it often gets relegated to group dictations, but if you're a child who struggles to read, then you may not remember what the teacher wrote down. If they write down Johnny's ideas or your ideas, so it loses the impact of being able to make the match between the oral and written words.
I guess this shows how long I've been out of a school situation, but just to hear what you just described as a way to help students learn how to read and how their words can be translated or how their speech can be translated into words, I don't ever remember that being done that way when I was in school.
Well, and it's not always, it's actually not used all that often because it is so labor-intensive. Hmm. But that's what I've been looking at is now that we have mobile devices, has that bottleneck been released so that now a child can go pick up a mobile device and talk to it and see their words appear and learn to read that way?
Again, our guest is Dr. Betsy Baker. She is a professor at the University of Missouri Literacy Studies. Well, I like this for several reasons, because some people would say, but you're putting a device, and we've heard the dangers of too much screen time or too much attention to our electronics or technology. But I'll say this, and you can tell me where I'm right or wrong on this and add to it. I see that, first of all, it allows all of the students an opportunity to learn what you've just explained of their own use individually, so that is more efficient that way. And I'm going to guess that if I'm doing this with a machine, I'm less apt to be shy or hesitant or embarrassed Because if I were doing that with a person and I got it wrong, or that person found something that they needed to tell me, I think it's easier coming from a machine, I guess, impersonal, than it would be with a person.
Well, you know, I think it really is important in terms of, you know, especially once you get to upper elementary, middle school, children know really quickly, even kindergarten, first grade, if they're not catching on to reading the way their peers are. And that's really discouraging and demoralizing. And yet if an upper elementary child is expected to do a science experiment and then write it up, they can now pull out this mobile device and activate any speech recognition app and dictate their science experiment and no longer be demoralized.
When you dictate something like that, again, I'm curious because I haven't used any app like this, does it also do the punctuation for you?
Different apps do it different ways. Siri and Dragon, both you have to dictate the punctuation.
I see.
You have to say, you know, I love David Lyle, period. You'd have to insert that orally. Now, there are some caveats. So one is, I think we probably are all familiar with, they're not, speech recognition apps aren't necessarily all that accurate, right? So part of the study was, well, if a child says, I went to the store, and it transcribes island to the store, I went to the store, is that going to be a problem? Is a child going to think I-S-L-A-N-D is how you write I went? And so what I found was very young children are really good, even though they can't encode their own language into writing, they're really good at knowing when speech recognition is wrong.
Really?
Is wrong, excuse me. Yeah, so they're real good. You hear all throughout the day, hey, that's not what I said, you know. So one of the things I would encourage teachers or parents then is then to engage students in conversation. How do you know that's not what you said?
Sure.
What would it take for it to be what you said? Let's talk to it again several times, and maybe it'll write it several different ways. Which way is the right way to write it down?
And again, this was with what age were you talking about when they were doing this? Was this first grade too, being able to see that?
Yeah, I was working with first graders. So I don't see this as a standalone, hand this to a child and you don't need a teacher or a parent anymore. A second caveat I want to point out is that the apps, at least that we were using, I think there might be others out there that this is not true of, but the ones we were using didn't have a child safety feature. So it might transcribe words that you don't want a child to see.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So in other words, again, it might misunderstand what the child is saying and might
put up
a word. Like some of us have typed things into text messages and we look and proofread and say, oh my goodness, that gave me this word instead of the word that I meant. I had that happen just a few days ago. Luckily, I didn't send that text before I checked it. But that would have been very embarrassing.
I don't think this is a standalone. And another disadvantage is when you do the traditional language experience approach, one of the really impactful components of that is that teachers usually think out loud how they are transcribing, right? So they'll think out loud. I went to the store. Let's see. It's the beginning of a sentence.
That's a
personal pronoun. That's a capital. So speech recognition isn't going to help the student hear how a person thinks about language. So I would encourage teachers and parents to engage students in those kind of conversations. How is it when you use speech recognition? How is it that you know whether or not that's what you said? How do you know whether that's how you want to use this sentence or structure this sentence? That was another thing I found was kids would think about what they want to write, and then they hit the button and go blank.
Huh. So in other words, they turn it on and get ready to go, and then they'd have, it's like they'd sit there and have like stage fright or mic fright.
That's right. There's a learning curve, or I kind of wonder nowadays, because Siri, Alexa, and others, you just talk to it, right? You say, hey, Siri, and I'll say, what do you want? You can say, will you take dictation?
Uh-huh.
Right? So maybe the act of pushing the button. So there are some what I would call new literacies potentially involved.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is all new ground for me. So that would be interesting. I would be able to say maybe to Alexa, say, Alexa, take this down, dictate something to Alexa, and then would I be able to come back later and say, okay, now repeat what I just told you, and she would do that?
Yes.
See, I don't have an Alexa or anything like that, but that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So, oh, I bet you do. You just don't know it.
This is interesting because then what you can do is, this is like when you used to put a sheet of paper, what you were talking about, how they would go blank sometimes when they turned it on, it was ready to go. It's like putting a piece of paper into a typewriter in the old days and all of a sudden having writer's block and not being able to write or type anything. That's the same thing that happened now. This is modern day writer's block, isn't it?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's too much multitasking. You know, how do I push the button, get the speech recognition app started, and now what was I trying to say?
Or, yeah.
I do think there's a difference between conversational speech and compositional speech.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So dictating to compose is different from dictating or just talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's some sort of a learning curve that, but you know, I think all those are not insurmountable. And some of the interesting things that we found were speech recognition currently requires internet access mm-hmm. to use it because not all the knowledge of recognizing speech resides on a device. So there were some days that Wi-Fi was down in the school. And it was really interesting to watch how these children's compositions changed. So,
really?
You know, children at very young ages have wonderful, colorful language, right? They describe their days. They describe their birthday parties. And so we would come to school, and they would tell me about these things, and we'd say, let's write them down. And you know, they would talk about, you know, instead of writing down row, row, row your boat, they'd have, you know, drive, drive, drive your limousine. they would talk about unicorns, dandelions. But when speech recognition wasn't available, they would change their word choice to words they knew how to spell. Right? So the limousine became car.
Sure.
You know, unicorn became horse.
Uh-huh.
So no longer were they using these wonderful, rich, you know, culturally diverse language. They sort of dumbed it down to stuff they could write.
Hmm.
And when we did a exit test at the end of the year, where we listed for the students all the words that they had dictated to to make stories,
uh-huh.
and they had 97% accuracy for the words that they were reading. And 50% of these words were beyond the seventh grade word list for the school district. So here are kids who were considered to be kids who struggle to read, who were given the opportunity to use their own rich oral vernacular. They learned to recognize those words quite well, and many of those words they would never encounter in a school curriculum until past middle school.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, this sounds really amazing to me. What was the first grade, who was the in-class, the teacher of that first grade that you were working with, what was her reaction to all this? Or his?
Well, I'm hoping that she was happy with this. I was in the writing center in the classroom, and
uh-huh.
where she then had other groups going on, and there was actually another teacher's aide who had another group going on.
Huh.
So, but it was really fun to have these kids. The writing center for me ended when recess started, and there were times when these children who, again, had been labeled as struggling readers, there were times that they would continue to dictate and write their stories, and I'd say, it's time for recess. And they're like, but I'm not done with my story. So they developed this sense of, I can write. I can do this. I'm good at this.
Wow.
Instead of being discouraged and feeling like they were dumb, you know. They and I think in many ways they were waiting to fill out 6, 7, 8 pages and then go show it to the teacher because they knew she would be available during recess.
How about that? I'll have to let you go in a minute. I'm just curious now, if a parent is listening or somebody is listening who has kids around that age or sometime in elementary or maybe even middle school or so, what would you suggest to them? Are they able to bring up something like this, find something online and say, just for the fun of it, I'll see if whether this takes with my child or not?
Yeah, again, I'd caution you that it may write down words that you don't anticipate it doing.
Sure.
And so, you know, when people ask, is this feasible, would I just hand this to somebody? I would say, well, you know, there's caveats here. So one of them, I don't feel confident saying, yes, go do this, unless you really are willing to consider that consequence.
Sure.
But yeah, if you, so there's a free app for Android and Apple devices called Dragon. And so you can download Dragon. But if you pull up a keyboard on any mobile device, usually there's a microphone on that keyboard.
Yes.
And that activates speech recognition.
Really? Now, I've got that too. Yep.
So you can start dictating your emails. You can dictate your text messages. But it isn't always accurate.
Proofreading
there
is important.
Seem to be potential here.
Yeah, proofreading is important. Well, this is fascinating. I had no idea what all it entailed, but those are some really good stories about the kids as they reacted to this and felt freer to use words that they normally wouldn't use because they would have taken a safe way out if they could only write what they knew what to write. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you sharing this with us. I hope that it becomes something that is that as it's fleshed out, really does help with literacy, because if you can't write and read, you're really at a loss when you get out
That's
into the
right.
world.
That's right. Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
Thank you. A professor of literacy studies in the MU College of Education, talking about her research with language experience approach. Betsy Baker has been our guest. This is KFRU.